We're talking about migration and borders today. And of course, crossing a border is just the beginning. For a lot of new immigrants, the process of transitioning to this new country is difficult, even dangerous.
The restaurant closed on Christmas Day, the one day in the year when it did. And Dodgy spent the morning lying on the floor, on the blue sofa cushions, gazing up at the damp ceiling. There was no point in looking for any work today. He'd learned that much from last year. Ardashir sat on his straight chair at the window. After a silence of almost 2 weeks, the older man spoke. "How long are you staying here?" "I can leave now." "In England," I said. "Until I've earned enough." "Then you're a fool." The afternoon was quieter still, and as they sat down with the lamb curry brought back from the restaurant the previous night, all that could be heard was the dull scrape of metal on foil and the slurp and slop of eating. Sometimes a car went by. "You're a bigger fool than me. I didn't have anyone to tell me different." Dodgy said nothing. "Take my advice and go back now, before there's nothing to go back for and you're stuck here." It was the most he'd ever said to Dodgy. Perhaps it was this Christmas spirit everyone went on about. 33 years. Didn't do my papa's rights, my BGs. Wife and children started new lives. For what? So I can sit here in this hell. No future but death. Just a body needing to be clothed and fed. Go back. You understand?
That's an excerpt from The Year of the Runaways by Sanjeev Sahota. It's a novel that was shortlisted for last year's Man Booker Prize. It's the story of a year in the life of three recent immigrants to the UK. Now, Sanjeev is from an immigrant family himself, though he was born and raised in the UK. And the book is certainly timely, considering Europe's current migration crisis. But Sanjeev says that's not why he wrote it.
People say to me, "You've written a very topical or a timely book." And I kind of say, well, that's sort of incidental. You know, the base is very personal. It's immigration's at the root of me. And, you know, if it wasn't for immigration, I certainly wouldn't be a novelist or writing books or living the life I'm lucky enough to be leading. So immigration, I think, has always been there in my background. And because I go to Punjab in India annually, sometimes once or twice, you know, a year, I've been there twice already this year. These stories, this sort of desperate need to get to the West, I've been hearing them for 15, you know, 20 years. It was inevitable that they were going to find their way into my fiction, given my own background as well.
Well, let's talk about some of your characters. There are these three migrants, young men named Tochi, Avtar, and Randeep. Who are they, and when the book begins, what's their daily life like?
Yeah, so there's Randeep, who's 19 years old, and he's made his way to England via a visa marriage. So he's married someone for convenience, a woman called Narinda, and he's living in a house with 12 other men. And Randeep's quite immature. He's not really adjusting to life in England at all well. There's Avtar. He's over on the UK on a student visa, though he's got no intention of... Though he tries, his main priority is to just work, and though he...
Well, he's working two jobs.
He's working two jobs.
And the only way he got to England in the first place is he sold a kidney to get there.
Yeah, right. He sold his kidney, and then he also took out a massive loan from the loan sharks to pay those loans back. He takes on two jobs, because if he doesn't pay those loans back, his family's in danger back in India. And this is sort of the difficulties people find themselves into, and that they're willing to put themselves into, because they think the money that they earn in England will more than sort of cover their costs. It's like this Dick Whittington sort of esque thing of the streets will be paved with gold. But the reality when they get here is very different.
And then there's your third character, Dodgy, who, unlike the others, he didn't come in order to try to make money and send it back to his family, because his family's gone.
You're right. For him, he's called a Jamar, a man from the lower castes in India. And you're right, his family are killed in a caste massacre. And he comes to England as a way to sort of just to prove himself as a human being, that he has as much right to make his own decisions in life as anyone else. There's a scene in the book which means a lot to me, when someone who he's been working for realises that he's of a lower caste, and she says to him, "You know, who are you?" And he says, "I'm a man." And I think for him, that's what the journey is all about.
So life is so difficult for your characters. You know, they've got this daily slog of backbreaking, incredibly insecure work. I mean, they show up every day not knowing, are they really going to have this construction job or not? They also live crammed into this tiny apartment. They are tightly bonded and, you know, really close companions to each other, but they're also competing against each other for jobs. I don't know, is this, do you think, somehow characteristic?
I think so. I think it's you know, when there's 12 men and there's one job and they're all desperate for that one job, it's everyone for themselves. And I think as one of the characters, Godpreet, says, who's been in England for about 11 years, I think he says, the worst thing is that everything becomes a fight. Everything becomes a competition, fight for the next job. And I think it changes them in a way. I have to say, over time, it does just, it makes them bitter, and your sense of what's normal, I think, changes.
How many people like that do you think there are just within walking distance, say, of your UK readers? Because I'm thinking that, you know, so often we unconsciously self-segregate, and there can be this kind of poverty and hardship one block over, but somehow we manage to live in such a way that we don't actually notice it.
Yeah, it's these hidden lives, I think. I think that's what one of the things I love about fiction is you try to dignify hidden lives, lives that are otherwise going by unnoticed, or lives that otherwise just pass us by, because we don't seem, you know, we don't have the time or the inclination, or we, you know, we're not looking hard enough. So you're right, these 12 young men, and there's no doubt in my mind that there's these houses with these young men in all the major cities in England. You know, this is happening.
Hmm. How did you find out so much about what these young men's lives are, and what kind of research did you do to write the stories?
Actually, I go to India a lot. In that part of India I go to, which is very rural part of the state, these are stories that you hear, you know, in the bazaar, in, you know, around the temples. It's a very open conversation, like all over that particular rural sort of part of Punjab.
What does it feel like for you? Because I was thinking, it must be difficult to be going back and to feel like you live a life of such relative privilege, simply because of where you were born. You know, and you're back talking to people who are suffering and living really, really difficult lives, also simply because of the accident of which country they were born in.
It is. It's deeply unfair. After I go back, whenever I go back to India, and it's interesting I say back, actually, given I was born in England, but whenever I go to India, it's a really live question inside me, that what do I owe? What, you know, for the children of immigrants in the UK like me, you know, what does it mean to be good? How is it fair that, as you said, just because I was born in one place, I can live one kind of life, and, you know, my cousins or, you know, people who are born in a different place, just because of a quirk of luck, really, aren't able to enjoy the same benefits that I can. And I can't really square that. I can't think of, for me, it's, you know, immigration, it's the basic question is a moral one. I don't think it's fair that I can live the life I can just because of something to do with luck. So that's, I suppose, my basic reason for believing that immigration is almost just a human right, really.
You said this is a question that lives inside of you, along with the question of what does it mean to be a good person or to live a good life, given those conditions. I mean, how do you answer that for yourself? Did you write this book out of a sense of responsibility?
I'm not sure I wrote it out of a sense of responsibility. I think once I decided I was going to write the story, I definitely felt a sense of responsibility to the people that I knew had gone through this life, you know, to honour it in a way. So once I decided I was going to write the story, there was definitely a moral dimension to how I tackled it, and the fact, and that I didn't portray the characters as either, you know, as either heroes or villains. I just portrayed them as people first and foremost, and they do awful things to each other. They're not saints in any sense, but hopefully it's understood through what they've gone through and what they're trying to achieve. Yeah, the question of goodness and what it means to be good to me, it's one I, you know, wrestle with. I have, you know, connections in India, and, you know, each time I go back, you're constantly being asked to help or to do something or to sponsor them or to speak to someone, and you do what you can within the bounds of legality, I guess.
Did writing this book teach you anything you didn't know about the migrant experience? I mean, what do you feel like you learned over the course of writing it?
Yeah, I think writing a book, it's always, you start off with a set of questions, and So I started off knowing, you know, the whole topic of migration and immigration, and especially in this global world we live in, was complicated. And I think I've just finished the book realising it's even more complicated than I thought. And if anything, I don't know if I learned, well, I suppose what I learned was just it's even more knotted than I thought.
Sanjeev Sahota. His novel, The Year of the Runaways, was shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize.